Guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
I hope you will like it.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Paranormal Hotline, the weekly paranormal podcast where we discuss insane things like the internet. What's up with that? My name's Kaylee, and I'm joined by my co-host, Oisin.
Hello.
And we're actually recording in person for like the first time ever.
Hello there.
I think like the first two episodes of the podcast were ever recorded in person, and then we stopped doing it because we had to go into lockdown again. So this is the first time in ages we've done an episode in person. And it's weird looking at your face, man.
It's weird looking at yours, no
If you
offense.
Say no, if you say this is not paranormal, I can literally deck you. So we covered Reddit stories pretty recently, and those are online stories, and it got me thinking about another story on a computer that is absolutely terrifying, but it happens completely offline. And I think you're going to love this story because the main character pretty much is a BBC Micro, and I know you love old technology, so
yes,
I feel like you'll be interested in this story.
That sounds up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah, this story is called The Doddleston Messages, and as the name suggests, it takes place in a village in the UK called Doddleston. And our story takes place in the year 1984. Well, it begins in 1984. And it immediately begins with the devil, Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher began a program for schools in the UK to introduce computer literacy and supplied schools with a computer called a BBC Mini, which is not very mini by our day standards. It's a massive goddamn computer screen. But back then, that was like a small computer.
It was compact.
Yeah, like it was easy enough to pick up and walk away with. And that was considered mini. Before that, any computer, you'd need like a forklift to move it anywhere.
Yeah, like whole rooms in buildings. Not too long before.
And it would be like 2 gigabytes, maybe. Megabytes.
Yeah.
Now, this story is in 1984, so this is a very, very basic computer. It's basically an electric typewriter at this stage. It used a program called Edward, which was spelt like with a word, Word at the end instead of Edward. And when I was researching this, I was like, is that why the character in Cowboy Bebop is called Edward?
It might be.
But it was really interesting. And it was basically just a really simplified typing software. That's what was installed on the computers for the schools. And before we kick into the story, though, just to let you guys know, we have the Patreon back up and running. And if you're enjoying the podcast and want to support it at all, you can do so on the Patreon. We have tiers as low as €2, and everything really, really helps us out. We're on the Discord, too, that you can access through the Patreon. And it's really weird because while I was researching this episode, Larry from the Discord messaged me about it. Like, literally, I was reading an article about it and he was like, hey, have you ever heard about this before?
It's paranormal in and of itself.
Dude, I swear Larry's got like a sixth sense or something. It was really weird. Like, I was literally in the middle of writing things about it and Larry messages me about it. It's not exactly like a really well-known thing. Like, sure, some people might know about it, but Larry just out of nowhere.
Yeah, but it's also like, of all, you know, thousands of paranormal stories,
yeah,
you could suggest it's the one you're working on in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. It was so weird. But a school teacher by the name of Ken Webster was permitted by the school to borrow one of these computers to practice his own computer literacy at home, you know, to become familiar with the computer so that he could teach it to kids and stuff. And Ken lived near enough to the school in a very old cottage. And he lived there with his girlfriend Debbie and his friend Nick. So it's the three of them in this small little kind of old cottage in this middle of nowhere in the UK, really close to Wales actually. And one evening Ken was fooling around with his new computer he had borrowed when he got up from his seat and accidentally left the computer running. So they didn't know it was running, they just kind of left it there all evening. And upon returning to his computer later in the evening, he read on the screen the following message: true are the nightmares of a person that fears, safe are the bodies of the silent world. Turn, pretty flower, turn towards the sun, for you shall grow and sow. But the flower reaches too high and withers in the burning light. Get out your bricks. Pussycat, pussycat, went to London. Sorry. Pussycat, pussycat, went to London to seek fame and fortune. Fate must not be lost, for this shall be your redeemer. So, what would your reaction to that be if you came up, like, say you left a Word document open, you came back and that was typed up on it, what would your reaction be?
I'd be headed downstairs to see who's been messing with my stuff, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too. And that's exactly what Ken thought as well. He assumed it was like a prank by one of his roommates or something. Not sure if it was like a computer program or something, because he wasn't really computer literate. He didn't know how it worked. Mm. He kind of just shrugged it off, and he didn't really think much more of it. I think he saved the file as like a document, but like that was it. And then he returned to the school and thought nothing of it. So he didn't do anything about it until the next year, 1985. When Ken decided to borrow the computer again from the school for a second time. He was supposed to be borrowing it to write like a script or something. He was also like a musician. He wanted to kind of be a musician more so than be a school teacher. So he was borrowing the computer to try and... Yeah. And again, one evening, he left the computer running. And when he returned, there was a second message on his computer. This one's going to be a little bit harder to read. I write on behalf of many. What strange words thou speak, although I must confess that I hath been ill-schooled. Sometimes methinks alterations are somewhat barful, for they break mean asleep in mine bed. Thou art goodly man who hath fanciful woman who dwell in mine home. I hath no want to affray, for only since my hath wife antic had ripped a twain, mine bound hath I been wreath in night. I hath seen many alterations lastly charge house and thou home. 'Tis a fitting place, with lights which devil maketh, a costly things that only mine friend Edmund Grey can afford, or the king himself. 'Twas a great crime to hath bride mine home. And it was signed LW, just the initials LW.
LW.
Yeah. So what do you make of that message?
Well, it's nice that he gets a compliment. He's a goodly man.
Yeah. It's written in really weird, like kind of old English kind of style. It's kind of hard to read some of it. But from the most of it, it's kind of like, your words are weird. But I was also not schooled very well. So it sounds like it's his home. It's his home that he's been living in, and he's made alterations to it.
It's almost like...
Yeah.
I think they were saying that to have light.
Yeah.
Because, like,
the devil maketh.
Yeah, so, like, electricity or what have you.
Yeah, but, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Also, it's just like, imagine going back or, like, coming across someone from, like, old times, like, not even, like, dark ages, just, like, even medieval times, and trying to explain to them anything that we have today. You know, it's mind blowing.
You're going to love this story. Because there's a lot of that. So Ken kind of sees this message and he's a bit weirded out by it again and can't really figure out where this message came from, and he shows it to his girlfriend Debbie and to his roommate Nick, and they both swear that they had nothing to do with it and they're just as weirded out as Ken is by it. So Ken brings the message into work with him and he shows it to his fellow teachers because he's like, maybe this is a software or something, so he's kind of trying to figure out what happened, you know, hoping that somebody could explain it to him, that it was like something he wasn't aware of. So he shows the message to the school's English teacher and he takes it with him to analyze it. So he printed it out or something and gave it to him. And the English teacher studies the message for a few days, and when he returns to Ken, he tells him that the message is period accurate for writing from the Middle English in the 16th century. So all of the writing and the... It's all period accurate. And, like, you'd have to go searching for some of the stuff, is what he said. You'd have... Like, there's no way a normal person would know this.
Yeah, it's not just, like, ye old, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like it was just, like, thou hast... Like, if I was writing this, it wouldn't sound anything like this. But he said it was all period accurate. And, like, it's not like you could Google it. Like, you know, like, now if you wanted to write something like that, you could just... search it and you can probably find something pretty similar, but you'd need to have like library access to very specific books to find this kind of information. So kind of shocked by this information, like, how could this message just appear on his computer? This computer didn't even have internet access. Like, the BBC Micro did have a port for the connection, but it was extremely basic and Ken didn't have any hookup for it, so it couldn't have been coming from the internet.
Also, I don't think so. I don't... Like, those kind of resources wouldn't be online at the time, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it wasn't even like a messaging software. It was literally like a word typing software.
Yeah, like word processor.
It was really weird. So the three housemates replied in the same file. So they decided to write a response to this LW. And they asked him about his life, about who Edmund Grey was, because it was referenced in the previous message, why and how they contacted them, and just a bunch of questions to try and find out a bit more about them. So they typed up this question, they left the computer on, and then, as all good paranormal investigators do, they just went to the pub for a couple of hours, and they just left the computer there alone.
Makes sense.
So when they returned from the pub, they saw that they had already had an answer waiting for them. And LW turned out to be named Lucas Wainman, a man from the mid-1540s who seemed to have lived on the same plot of land that the Webster's house was now occupying. And through the next few messages, Webster was able to discern intel on where, when, and who this mysterious acquaintance was. So he kind of lived like where Ken lived, but just, what, like 500 years beforehand?
That's super weird.
You sound so skeptical already. You're just like, yeah.
Well, no, it's just I'm like,
have a bit of faith, though, Jean.
No, I am. I'm just thinking, like, as well as, like, you know, there being a whole time travel talking to someone in the past thing going on here, there's also, like, how does someone back then, like, interface with, like, the machine that thinks in binary?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's also paranormal.
There's answers coming. There's answers coming for that question. But you are asking the right questions. Yeah, so while all this is happening, they get a bunch of message from this Lucas Wainman from the past. And a lot of it's kind of cryptic. It's hard to kind of translate what he's saying. But they get a load of answers from him for a bunch of stuff. And while all this is happening, the trio start to notice an increase in paranormal activity around their home. So for starters, there was, like, dust on the floor in the home at one stage that they, like, I don't know, just hadn't swept or something. And in the dust, they noticed a strange bare footprint. But the footprint appeared to have six toes.
Okay.
And the footprint seemed to walk up the wall, too. I'm not really sure if that's a thing people in the past did. But Ken decided to paint over the footprints because it was actually getting that bad. Like, there was repeated footprints going up the wall. So he ended up painting over it and everything to get rid of it. And when he returned the next day, the footprints were just back.
Like,
a six-toed freak from 1950s. Or, sorry, 1540s. Walking up the walls. Yeah, just in dust.
Lucas out for a stroll.
Yeah. They saw a few other things, too, in the house. Like, a cold breeze would come through some of the rooms. Just, I know it's an old house, but, yeah, they experienced cold drafts. They would see shadows moving out of the corner of their eyes. There was one stage where all the furniture was getting stacked up in the kitchen. It's like a pyramid thing. Loads of the cat foods and stuff like that were getting stacked up. Just kind of weird poltergeist activity around the home. So the English teacher, his name is Peter Trinder, he assessed some of the new responses. And again, it pinpointed the tone, grammar, and lexis of the 16th century Cheshire. So it's all kind of adding up. So it's very strange because, like, back then, like, people didn't travel as much, so the language difference of, like, you know, even here in Ireland, if you travel 20 miles down the road, the accent's different.
Yeah,
it was the same over in the UK. The language was slightly different for different areas, and the language in this message matched the location that they were in for the 16th century. So it was very, very specifically matching that area. And in one of his messages, Lucas mentioned that his house was made out of red stone, which the current house wasn't actually made of, so it wasn't really adding up. But they were renovating the house, and when they were digging up the kitchen floor, they found a bunch of red stone that was actually underneath the current flooring. So it was originally built out of red stone. Yeah, terrifying. Yeah, Lucas would ask, like, some, like, it's like he would, like, put trick questions down to try and figure out if Ken was from the future, too. Like, he put down a question or an answer at one stage saying that he was from a college. I think it was, like, the Jesus College of wherever they're from, and Ken didn't mention it in his response, and Lucas was like, if you were from the future, then how did you not know that this is not a real college? And, like, he was, like, trying, like, trick Ken into, like, I don't know, it's really weird, man.
It's like a really salty, like, forum board where, like, you know, oh, well, I thought you said you were an expert, but
yeah, pretty much I thought you said you were from the future and know everything about the past. But over the next 18 months, in 1985 and 1986, messages continued to appear on the computer. Ken kind of, like, committed a lot of his time to trying to figure out who was behind this. He was pretty adamant that it wasn't his girlfriend or his roommate. That was his opinion.
Can you imagine, like, For like 3 years now.
For a long time.
I sincerely hope that it wasn't them, because I'd be raging. Like,
you'd, so would I.
I'd be fit to kill someone. 3 years, my time and
it's
effort.
It's only 1 year, really. Because it was from 1985 to 1986.
Right, okay. The computers came out in 84, and then...
Yeah, he borrowed the first one in 84, but then he didn't have it again for about a year.
Yeah, fair enough. Even still, that's a lot of,
still
like...
still a lot of time.
That's a lot of, like, you know, my personal life that I'm giving away to me haunt a computer.
So he asked Lucas, like, a series of questions about where, when, and who he was, and he asked questions like... who was the reigning king at the time, and apparently most of Lucas's answers were like period accurate. Like Henry VIII was the king when he answered, and he answered who his wife was accurately to the period. But that's not hard information to come by, so it's not like that incredible. It's not like he's coming up with something that nobody knew before. Like the red flooring is kind of cool, because it's like, oh yeah. So they continued asking Lucas loads of questions, and eventually Lucas revealed that his real name wasn't actually Lucas, and that his name was actually Tom Harden, or Tom Harden the entire time. And that he was working under a fake name for some reason. And they'd researched that name, and there was actually somebody named Tom Harden in that town at that time period.
Right.
I don't think they know if he lived in that house or not, but he lived in the area. It was also common in those days to say, like, say if his name was Thomas and he was from a place called Harden, you would say Thomas Harden, like Thomas from Harden, kind of. And that's how a lot of last names kind of developed. But that was apparently fairly common to do, too. So they keep getting messages from Lucas, or now Thomas, and apparently they could see things around the house. So this Thomas or Lucas could see things that were happening in the house in 1985. Like, for example, Ken had a photograph of a Jaguar car next to his computer, and Ken wrote, "I have found your picture of the cart. But it is a crude thing, for without the horse, it won't go far." Which is just stupid. I don't think anybody from the past would look at a picture of a Jaguar and go, "Ah, yes, a cart." Although I suppose it has wheels on it, so maybe.
Maybe. The wheels also look vastly different as
well.
They do,
they do. They look, but like, wheels are wheels. I feel like if I saw wheels from the future, I'd know they were wheels.
I know, but it's like... what's he gonna do? Sit on top of the jack? Like,
you're just slipping off the bonnet.
Yeah. Like, what an upgrade, though. Like, you know, Thomas is back with like his one horsepower.
So this is where things kind of take a weird turn, and things kind of start getting answers for, you know, how shit is happening.
Okay.
So Ken is writing to Lucas, and he mentions the year to him. It's the first time that he's actually mentioned the year that Ken is from, which is 1985. And he gets this response from Lucas. "You said your time be 1985. Methinks you alts from 2109 like your friend whom didst bring Neem's boist prey." So, it turns out that somebody else was in contact with Lucas, or Thomas, I don't know what their name is. Someone from 2109. Someone from the future.
I love it.
It's a twist, man. It's such a twist. And apparently in the message, Neem Boist actually translates to box of lights.
That's some blinking lights.
Which I assume is like a reference to a computer that Lucas got from the future. I feel like this would have made more sense if Lucas wasn't actually... like, it was a ghost, and it was a ghost that was responding on the computer.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of implying that Lucas is actually in the past, and someone from 2109 gave him a computer. Without... I don't know how it works in 2109.
No.
Do they still use internet, or do they have, like, some other thing that they can use?
It obviously, like, connects through time.
Through time. Yeah, so Ken is, like, obviously shocked by this. But maybe it might explain how a man from the past can communicate with him. If you could go back in time and give a peasant one type of modern technology, what would it be?
See, this is a real question for me.
I knew it would be.
I want to say, like, soap.
Soap!
And, like, the means of making soap.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Now, I imagine that at that point...
that will drastically change the world.
Yes. And also just to let him know, like, that about germs.
I'm... because you said soap, I specifically want to get COVID, go back in time and sneeze on a peasant now. Oh. Just to fuck you. Like, like you give him soap and I'll sneeze on him at the same time. No, but in all honesty, though, I'd probably get a tablet and preload it with anime. And like just a ton of anime downloaded onto it and just see how fucked up I can make the timeline. I want this to be like a Marty McFly level fuck up. Yeah, but you know, Ken is a sound man and he would never do anything like that.
No.
Ken decided to try and contact these 2109 people. So he writes a simple message in the message board for them. And it just says, calling 2109. And this is the reply he gets. Oh, I don't know if I want to read this out.
Calling 21. It's like something off like a prog rock album. Yeah.
Try to understand that you three have a purpose that shall in your lifetime change the face of history. We, 2109, must not affect your thoughts directly, but give you some sort of guidance that will allow room for your own destiny. We can say that we are all part of the same God, whatever he is.
Thank you, 2109.
Ground control to 2109.
It's like...
Yeah, there's a bunch of messages from 2109 as well, but for the most part, they don't really give any details about what the fuck this big plan is or what they're part of. But Ken and Debbie are part of some project that they have a higher purpose. And 2109 apparently got really annoyed when they found out that Ken had figured out Lucas's real name was actually Thomas, saying that it would have like a negative impact on their plans and blah, 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 blah. So they got like tons of messages back and forth. Like this is going on ages. There's like, I think like 300 plus messages in total.
Do they have to go to the pub every time?
I don't think they go to the pub every time, but they definitely leave the computer alone every time. They don't ever see the messages being typed. So the Society for Psychical Research became interested in this case. They
understandably,
Ken contacted them and they decided that they were going to do an investigation on it. And they investigated it. The first time they investigated, they showed up at the house and they typed up a message, didn't show the other people, locked the room and went to the pub the way the guys did and made sure that all of them were with them so that nobody was in the house.
Mm.
And they didn't get a response.
They
did not get a response.
Okay.
So they were like, all right, whatever. See, this is going to be too good to be true.
We'll head back to the pub, so.
Yeah.
Like, it's closed.
Yeah. So they were, like, Ken was pretty, like, you know, he was heartbroken by this. So he asked them to come back another time, and they did the same experiment. They typed it up. I think they typed it up and then deleted it without showing the other guys to see if they would get a response.
Mm.
Went to the pub, came back, and there was no response again. Because even if somebody did get to the computer, they wouldn't know what the questions were or anything like that.
Yeah.
Then they came back a third time because Ken was really goddamn like...
Because it's like he's not getting his
his
answers and also he's being called a liar.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And they decided to run the exact same experiment again. So Ken and all them knew what the experiment was going to be. So they ran the same experiment, typed it up, blah, 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 left. And when they came back this time, there was a response. It was a fairly vague response in that it didn't quite answer. It was from 2109, so they were very much like, please do not interfere with the mission. And they kind of felt like the computer was tampered with.
Right.
And they didn't really believe that it was a 2109 alien in contact with them or something. So they called it a failure and they went back home and they never researched it again. So three times they investigated it and nothing came of it. So Ken received another message from Thomas who said that he was being forced from his land and that he would never hear from him again. But he said that he would leave something for them in the future. Thomas said that he was going to write a book that depicted everything that had happened from his perspective. And 2109 also said that that the book would be found at some point by Ken. So they kind of confirmed, yes, Thomas has written a book and Ken will find it. So Thomas did write
They have
book.
To know because they're from the future.
Yeah, exactly.
They know you find it.
Yeah. But no book has been found yet. and Ken is still in search of Thomas's book. Ken went on to write a very detailed book about his experience with the whole message thingy, and he called it The Vertical Plane, which is a book that you can get, but it's hard to get a copy of it now. I think an actual original copy of the book costs like $900 or something like that.
I'm going to plug the Patreon real quick.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the end of the Dalston messages. Apparently, like, there's so many more details that I had to skip because there was just so much. Apparently, like, Thomas got arrested at one stage and somebody else was typing from his time period. There's also a message from Thomas where he describes when he got the computer, and he said that a green light appeared from his fireplace and delivered the computer to him. When he got arrested, he got arrested for witchcraft because he had the computer. But he was let go, and the kind of paranormal activity all stopped in the house. But yeah, you're a skeptical man, Oisin.
I've been called a skeptical man before, yes. I really think that something like that in the past, especially if he was arrested as for being a witch,
yeah,
there would be a lot more evidence of it.
Yeah, I don't know if there is any evidence of an arrest. I know he wasn't charged or anything, he was just arrested for it.
But like, not even just an arrest. I mean, like,
Witchcraft,
and there would have been, especially if they found
a computer
essentially.
Could you imagine?
Something that definitely has blinking lights.
Could you imagine somebody's on like a archaeological site and they fucking dig up a BBC microphone?
Yeah, that's what I want to know is like, did 2109
send did back they take a BBC it back? Micro? Yeah. Like? I think the whole, like, what really put me off was 2109 coming in contact.
Yeah.
When they were like, oh, you guys have a mission, your purpose is, and that lost me.
That would be the bit in the movie where I just kind of go, all right.
Oh, for fuck's sake. it was very kind of self-inflating. I don't know, it's really hard to, who do you think it was though? Like, I will say as well that Ken's girlfriend, Debbie, said that she could see Lucas when she was dreaming. She could see him in the kitchen and stuff like that too.
Right. I want to say it might have started off as one of the three amigos in the house, right?
Okay.
And then, and I don't mean this being mean, you know, but then maybe after the, you know, oh, joke was played, and then they kind of go, let's run with this. Because like,
yeah,
there's definitely an idea, and especially the mention of the book. So there's definitely a whole thing of like, we could get very famous off this sort of vibe.
Yeah.
You know, if there was enough of a following, a cult following or something, and then suddenly, oh, we found the book that ties in with our story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here it is. You can go and you can buy that now and read it.
like Thomas's.
Yeah. So like, whatever.
If they ever damn find that book.
I know. If they ever, I mean,
I'll
buy
this computer.
100%. Yeah, I think it could have been like a PR stunt that didn't get enough PR.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I really think that the whole testing sort of thing, because you could write simple programs on those machines as well.
Yeah.
And I think kind of once they knew what the test was going to be performed,
yeah,
you could write a simple one to return a message in a certain amount of time.
Yeah, I think it was something like I think the theory they had was that it was like, once they deleted the message, it was saved somewhere else in the system or something like that, so they could actually see what the message was.
But you were saying it was a vague message, kind of like that they got
still
back.
Pretty vague.
It was like, oh, quit messing. So it was like, if it's going to be something like that, that doesn't directly relate to what is being typed in, you could set that up beforehand.
There's a ton more to this story. Like, there's so much more to it that I just don't have time to fit into the episode. Like, at one stage, Ken decided to see if Thomas could respond on paper instead of just on the computer. So like, he left a pen and paper out and he was getting tons of responses on that too.
Right.
So for a while he was getting responses on pen and paper, which doesn't really fit with the whole narrative of 2109 delivered a computer back in time.
Yeah.
It fits more with the narrative of there's a poltergeist in this house that's typing messages.
Yes.
But that's not really what they were going for. It kind of feels like there was two narratives going on, really.
Yes, it really does. It could be a poltergeist just having him on.
That's true, you know? Too. Like a man who died like the year before or something.
Who knows? Like, you know, that's me at my like most...
That would be brilliant,
paranormally
actually, yeah.
Skeptic, like, you know?
I feel like if I was a ghost, that's exactly what I'd do. Especially if somebody left a Word document open.
Especially if you didn't want you yourself to be investigated.
Pussycat went to London.
Yeah, see, that just sounds like Dick Whittington. Like, you know, Dick Whittington heads off to London with his cat.
I don't know what that is.
I think it's an old story, or like one of these like story poems.
Oh, right.
Like he
heads
off
to London to seek fame and fortune.
Yeah.
I will say that, you know, the English teacher who
verified the,
yeah. There was another language specialist who analyzed the messages. BBC, I think, did a mini series where they looked at kind of paranormal stuff, and this is one of the things they looked at, and the language specialist they brought in said it was like really bad like fake ye old English. She was like, it doesn't make any sense. So maybe the English teacher was kind of in on it.
Maybe they were meant to write the book from Lucas. Maybe that was their, you know,
maybe they never, but got like around it. I mean, that would also, it just kind of like, maybe you're onto something here. Maybe it was a modern day ghost who was taking the fucking piss.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if a man died in that house like the year before and he also knew how to use a computer. Yeah. He was just like, pussycat went to London to seek fame and fortune. Like, it's just, that would be really funny.
Isn't it? No, it goes.
And then putting six toad fingers in the dust.
I think the poem, is it it's pussycat
song.
Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the Queen. And pussycat, what did you do there? I frightened a little mouse under her chair.
Oh, I wonder what
that's
written.
Just after like beaming into my head somehow. Like, that's like a,
it's the ghost,
it's
man.
The ghost
calling 2109. They're in your head, Eugene. So if Lucas lived back in whatever 1540s and he died in that house,
yes,
his ghost would be in the house, right? But they're messaging him in the past before he died. So there's two instances of Lucas. There's ghost Lucas from when Lucas died, who has six toes and climbs up the walls and knocks cat tins. And then there's Lucas from the past when he was still alive that they're messaging. So is there two different instances of this Lucas or Thomas character?
I see, that's why I think it's a poltergeist, just fucking with him.
Yeah. I definitely think that's reasonable.
The paranormal investigation should have been about that. Like, why is all of our chairs stacked? And
I did wonder why they didn't investigate that. It's very strange to me. But yeah, that's the Donaldson messages. What do you think? Real or not real?
I don't think a computer was communicating with the past or the future.
Why?
Because computers don't work like that.
You think Ken has a major role in this world?
I think a poltergeist might think that Ken has a major role in this world.
Or whatever you call it, a prophecy.
Prophecy geist.
Yeah, this one is... I mean, like, I believe in fucking ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, but I just find this story a little bit hard to swallow. And yeah, especially after... There's just so many things that shoot it in the foot.
The final nail in the coffin for me was like, actually no,
the language is
the language is garbage. Like,
that was pretty much, yeah, that was like the biggest thing going for it.
Always switch off your computer at night.
Yeah, don't leave your computer running. That's not good for the environment. But that's everything we have time for today. If you are enjoying the podcast, you can please consider supporting us on Patreon. You can join the Discord and you can chat with us there. And if there's other people who are psychic, you can come on and contact me about something that I'm researching as I'm researching it, like Larry does. You can follow us on Twitter and you can follow us on Spotify. That also really, really, really helps us out and helps other people find us too. Thanks for listening, guys. I will see you next week. Pussycat went to London.
Let's head to the pub.
Yes, let's go to the pub.
See ya.
Bye.